This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. This week, I'm so glad to have back on the show Marianne Camarado. She gave us so many insightful tools last time that I wanted to have her back to go a little bit deeper around sex, sexuality, what women do to really disempower themselves with men and their sexuality. So Marianne, welcome back to Just for Women.
Oh, thanks, Elisa, for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are so much fun. I feel like we have this real kindred spirit with our Italian. You're from the East Coast?
Everybody says
I know.
That about
See, you're
me.
One of those
it's
Californians
true.
That
it
acts
is.
Like an East Coaster.
But I was born in San Francisco, so I'm a native Californian. So you get our San Francisco paisan going, you know, and that's what happens. But I'm half Italian, half Irish, which, you know, that's very common. The Catholics liked to link up.
I got to make a word. I have to. You're like a coaster. You know,
yeah.
You're like from the East Coast, but you're a Worcester.
Yes,
you're an East Coaster from the West.
A Worcester. Oh, yeah. But people often do say that to me, as a matter of fact. That was grammatically incorrect, and that's okay.
That's all right.
It's all right.
We're going to talk about sex.
That's right.
Everything goes a little out the window when we start talking about sex.
That's
the
right.
The chemicals start going. But really what I wanted to talk to you about is how women just wreck it. Sexually. You know, I know you write about this in your books. Marianne has written two books. Her first book, Skinny, Tan, and Rich, was all about fill in the blank. Hey, totally being externally referenced, always looking outside of herself for what was going to make her have a relationship that worked. And finally, you realized, you know what? That's not the key. The
That's
key
right.
is going inside.
It was the obsession with finding the happily ever after planet that never existed.
Yeah,
you know,
and doesn't.
Yeah, doesn't.
And so now your second book, Hindsight, What You Need to Know Before You Drop Your Drawers, tools, techniques,
right.
quizzes, you know, kind of like the roadmap. So
right.
I really appreciated what we talked about last time, which was, you know, have a contract, be able to talk about non-negotiables, know who you are on the inside. And I think the biggest thing we talked about was you're going to have to do the work. If,
that's right.
If you're coming to the same hole and you keep falling right. in it, it's time to do the work.
Well, here's another possibility. You don't have to do anything, but you're going to get more of what you got.
Right.
That is the absolute truth of the matter. I've seen women go through their entire life, all the way into their 70s and 80s, spinning the same story, the same victim story. He did it to me. This guy did that. And they really believe it. And you spend the rest of your life getting more sour and closed and bitter and who knows what. So that is a way to go. And guess what? The universe doesn't care.
Yeah.
You have free will. So I recommend, at least for me, that you actually use that. I chose to use it. So the alternative is to do what you said, which is what I call a self-care practice, which is a new concept for a lot of us here in the Western world. It really is. Having a practice, because we all want fast food. We all want it right now, and I don't want to practice anything. I want to get it in 7 sessions. I want to pay $49.99 for it, and I want to throw out the wrapper like a cheeseburger, and I am enlightened, and here we go. Yeah, how's that working for you out there?
No, anybody? You know, I agree, because also it feeds into that mindset that we talked about on the last show, where it's somehow noble to be this stressed out, trying to handle it all, thinking that that's noble. That's what I learned from my mother, and I watched her flip out here, there, and everywhere on us, and I'm thinking to myself, the communication with my dad is terrible. She's always stressed out. And then I noticed
That's
it
right.
in my life, and it's like,
That's right.
this is a learned behavior, and I've got to unlearn
That's
this.
Right. And as a matter of fact, we could do a whole program on that one neural loop, as we talked about in the last show, the self, you know, where you derive your identity from, which is, for some of us women, some people take the damsel in distress, some people take the overly responsible. I've done a little bit of both myself. Having said that, however you be in relationship with yourself is an ongoing process, mm-hmm. a self-care practice. But here's the thing that keeps happening. Men keep coming and orbiting into your life. So the other thing I recommend, and what this part of the program I think we're going to talk a little bit more about, is here I am going along with my little self-care practice, feeling good about myself, taking myself for walks, bubble baths, sending myself flowers, and all of a sudden I go out and there he is, and that goes out the window, and next thing I know, my underwear are around my ankles. I'm doing, you know, the rumpy pumpy with some guy I just met because I'm sure he's the one. Now, this is not an unusual story. Why does that happen, and why is that so dangerous? Well, you know, Alisa, we could look at some of the statistics out there. Let's start in college. Date rape is on the rise. Being a single mother is on the rise. The divorce rate, let's keep moving along, is on the rise.
Not to mention domestic violence and all kinds of...
That's right. On the more dramatic end of the scale, death. Next year, 2009, between 2,000 and 4,000 women are going to die as a result of domestic abuse, okay? These things are nothing for us to sneeze at. So on the very extreme left, let's call it, you need some skills and tools when you meet someone just for your very safety, okay? Mm. Chemistry is going to probably try to talk you into not using those tools and skills. You get close enough to somebody who's had some problems, gets an STD. I know gals who tell me all the time, oh my gosh, I have herpes, I can't tell the guy. Well, how do you think you got it? You know,
yeah,
these are the kinds
those
of things.
Those cycles of
that's
not
right.
communicating.
That's right. You go to sleep, you fall in love, and you just need, as we talked about in the last show, we need to be loved so bad that we're going to let those things go away. Actually, they just go away. You don't let them go away. You go to sleep is what I call it. And then the deficit of low self-esteem starts to rear its ugly head, and you'll do anything to get loved. So this is the conversation that we were talking about at the beginning of this program we wanted to have.
Yeah.
The extreme of which, the extreme behavior that we engage in as women, and this is not, by the way, just for 20-somethings or teenagers. Women all the way up through do things that are so shame-based, ultimately. They're so far away from their sacred relationship with their bodies for a reason. That's what we want to talk about.
Yeah, and we don't even know that it's shame-based. And this is what I want to talk, like, why don't we know that what we're, or do we know that it's shame-based and we're doing it anyway? Because that's what we were taught, that's what we think. We're that desperate to get the guy that we're willing to not be connected to what is really honoring of ourselves and our bodies and our nature.
Well, here's the quickest way to find out what's true for you, I notice. I like these little litmus tests that I do. What would you tell your daughter? And then notice how you feel about that. For example, let's say you meet a guy and you like him.
Right, that's
and for a moment, just pause. Right. Just hit the pause button. What would you tell your 17-year-old or 18-year-old daughter to do? And do that. Now, there's a very small amount of women that would tell their daughter to wear a condom, you know, and slap them on the back and say, have a good time, see you in the morning. You know, I don't know these women, but I know they're out there, and they're probably very damaged and wounded mm-hmm. and have very low self-esteem. This is not funny, and it does happen. But for the most part, this is not the scenario. So this is how we know what's real or not. Just step outside yourself for a moment. I feel like I'm screaming in your face.
I'm like, I hope it's catchy.
Yes, I'm so loud. I'm sure they can hear me in Tibet, okay?
I like it, though. Okay, we need good. This for my show.
Okay, good. Sorry. So ask yourself, what would I do, or what would I tell my daughter, my niece, my girlfriend's daughter, my unborn child, the baby that, oh, by the way, I just got an email from somebody who was telling me that they belong to a community that really, really looked down on being pregnant, and that this particular spiritual leader had the gals all get abortions. Do you know how much shame and grief these thousands and thousands of women had because they wanted to be loved and accepted, that having sex was okay, but to just have an abortion? I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
I can't even imagine.
Right, but this is how far out of balance we are.
Right, with ourselves.
That's right, with ourselves.
We're so out of balance with ourselves that we're willing to let whatever, you know, hot new thing or thing that we think is going to solve something inside of us. It's very dangerous. It's almost like I can see where people get into cults and things of that nature.
That's
the massive disconnection. But I really want to focus on sex with you.
I feel like
we could talk about so many different things, but what are women doing? What are these unconscious, disparaging things that we do? Because, you know, we talked before about boundaries and the inability to say no, when we really mean no.
Okay, so here's one of the most common things that I see. When I had my therapy practice, my office filled up with women who did the following pretty consistently. The self-esteem is pretty low. The litmus test for that is look outside yourself in your life and see, get a range of how people treat you on a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. Do they treat you like you're the Queen of England or with great respect on a 10 or a 1, you know, not so much? That way you'll get a sense, because it's easier sometimes for us to look outside of ourselves to see how we treat ourselves until we understand what being internally referenced is. So for those of you listening, just take a peek at your life. How do I show up for people? How do people treat me in general? So probably pretty typically not so great, especially when it comes to guys. So if that's the case, what do guys want the most? This is a million-dollar question. Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. This is not Ferris Bueller, but the guys, they say,
chocolate.
Want... Chocolate. wrong. They want...
Steak.
Right. They want the vag. You know, they want the big mother. They want to go in deep, and they want to connect sexually. The woman tells herself, society tells her, all the magazines tell her, MTV tells her, everybody tells her. And so, gee, do you think she's going to believe that at some point? Sure, her father probably told her that's true. So she has it wired that this is what people want, and then they'll love me, which, by the way, is a survival loop that we learn as young women. We get validated for making people happy, which translates to our sexuality, not necessarily sex yet, but sexuality and sex is so intrinsically linked. And for some people, it's impossible for them to make the distinction at some point, especially when you go out in the culture and the big machine is spinning that story, which is associated with low self-esteem. So there you are, locked and loaded. You're a pleasing machine. You have low self-esteem just by virtue of being born at this time in this culture with most of our parents who are busy working towards the American dream. So, you know, you maybe aren't getting all your needs met.
And not to mention the abuse, sexual, emotional, physical, whatever, that completely leads to the low self-esteem.
That's right. Well, that too. I mean, that hopefully, you know, those numbers are going to be dropping here in the next decade if we have anything to say about it, because the more awareness women have, the better they can take care of themselves and heal themselves. So, but to answer your question, so the woman goes out in the world and she's going to do what I call lead with her sexuality, because that's her greatest value. It's the easiest thing to do. Push-up bra, the Wonder Bra was like, it was the eighth wonder of the world, the push-up bra, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I have a great joke. I remember when I had a push-up bra on once, and I was with my boyfriend. The first time we were together, I took it off, and I said, he goes, wow, what kind of bra is that? I go, it's a Wonder Bra. And now, and I took it off, and I said, boy, I guess you wonder what happened to my cleavage.
Pretty funny.
It was funny. I thought it was funny. But, you know, so that kind of thing. So we lead with sexuality, which isn't a tough game, but it's a game that women actually feel like that they're in. If I'm the sexiest one, if I give better oral sex than she does. I honestly have heard these stories from women.
Yeah.
I just was on a blog. I did a blog this guy, I'm so sorry, I can't think of your name right now, but I was saying that I was at a party and there was a woman, there were about eight of us women sitting around, but there was this one woman who said, oh, I love giving oral sex. It is hot, hot, hot. I am so into it. I'm so great at it. And I said, I'm calling BS on that. She goes, what? I go, no, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call BS. She goes, oh no, I'm into it. I go, okay, let's go get a guy to have an orgasm in a shot glass. I'm going to stick it in the refrigerator, and tomorrow morning you just knock yourself out. Go for it. Mmm, yummy. Just have a shot of his cum, huh? And she looked at me, and I go, you know, the thing is you've trained yourself to believe that. It's not about the oral sex. It's not about the oral sex. It's not about the organ. It's all about this. You use your sexuality, you get the guy, he thinks you're hot, you've got the 90-day wonder thing going, and then in 90 days, he actually wonders what happened to you because you're pissed off, you don't want to have so much sex after a year or so, or maybe even 90 days, because why? Because that's what you led with to get him. Mm-hmm. But it's so unconscious, we don't even know we do this, mm-hmm. And then we start to have needs, and the guy's looking at you like, who are you? And what need do you... It's all about me. Because that's what we taught him.
Yeah, we totally enrolled him in that we're the sexual goddess maven. And then
that's right.
When the mask comes off...
That's right.
That's when... The 2 years, right.
And we think we're in the power position. But the truth is it's not what we really want. When we all totally, honestly drop into our hearts, that's one aspect of a relationship. It's lovely, it's beautiful, it's divine to be in sexual union, and it's fun, and it's juicy, and it's all of that, but it's not the relationship. That is not it.
What else can sexuality be used for if not as some kind of manipulative tool to get a guy?
Well, there are a lot of schools of thought about that. As a matter of fact, one of our colleagues that we were talking about, I'm not going to say his name because he's not my favorite person. That's mean, but you don't know who I'm talking about. But anyway, one of the things...
I love how honest you are.
Well, I am. I feel like, you know, I try not to be judgmental, but every once in a while somebody gets in my craw. So this person talks about, which a lot of the sages throughout the ages talk about, having sex as a portal to God. That is possible for people who have been on a spiritual path on a daily basis as part of their practice, who actually understand the context of that. That is not about picking up a tantra book, studying for 10 minutes on how to have an hour-long orgasm. This is not, you know, that's what we do
exactly.
In this culture.
It's the fast food syndrome,
right.
Again.
So, yes.
You want it quick.
Right. So sex can be a lot of different things. But primarily what I notice for people is it's a way to make babies, it's a way to manipulate each other, and it's another way to be a junkie and to feel good. The highest version of it is it's a way to connect with your beloved, body, mind, and spirit. I believe the body is one of the most sacred possible things you can have. It houses your intuition, all of your nerve endings, your blood, your brain. I mean, it's an amazing thing to share that with another human being. So it, you know, on the other side of that, by the way, when we do that and we're not in a sacred agreement with someone, the damage I believe that happens over time is incalculable.
Yeah, it's that total breakdown. It's the energetic breakdown, the physical, the emotional, which is why it's so devastating and so important, I think, that when there is abuse early on in a person's life, that gets impacted and supported right away. So we'll be right back. I'm Elisa Kreitman, your host of Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. We're speaking with Marianne Camarota about sex and the healthy version. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, How to Think Like a Thin Person on personallifemedia.com.
Elisa Kreitman. We're back talking with Marion Camerato. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Camerato.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And before the break, we were talking about how what a disadvantage it is and what confusion we leave men with when we lead with our sexuality. And so just to round that out, what else can we lead with if not our sexuality?
That's a really good question, because I think a lot of gals aren't totally sure what that means, but they have a sense of it, right? We talked a little bit about before the break that, boy, we're programmed from an early age that our greatest value is our sexuality, how we look, by the way, defined by how pretty we are, how thin we are, how sexy and alluring we are, and that's how we get the guy. So when I looked at that issue for the first time in my life, I knew I was smart. I thought I was very funny. And so what I did was I started spending some more quality time with myself before I started taking that for a test drive elsewhere, right? Meaning I wasn't, you know, I was on the path already at that time when I started realizing that using my sexuality was putting me in harm's way. In other words, if I valued that, so was he. So what I did was I went back inside myself and started spending time with acknowledging myself for other things about myself, making them more real. And then what I noticed was I didn't have to lead with anything. It was just true. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's sort of how I approach my life from the inside out. So I needed to, A, have the awareness that I was leading with my sexuality, realize that I valued that the most about myself at the time, and then began to look for the other things that were my gifts and strengths and focus on those almost exclusively. And it's interesting because my husband, he has a few degrees, but one of them is in religious history. He's got a degree in psychology. All of the things that I love the most, my husband reflects back to me. Yeah. Whereas I was with someone for a long time who had an obsession with sexuality. At the time, that's what I valued or was taught, because I was molested as a kid, as I've said. But it's just a great, I say that just to point out, to illustrate how dialed in it becomes. So what I want to leave you with is look and see. I've got a Big Bad Wolf exercise, by the way, in my hindsight book, which will help you get in touch with what you value the most about yourself. So where are you putting your time and attention? And likely that is what you're going to get back, right? So we want to shift that focus. So it's not as important as what, as you know, just shifting it from where it is if that's not working for you.
Yeah, because interestingly enough, here's the thing. We're sexual beings. We're going to want to have sex. We just don't have to lead with our sexuality.
That's
if we
right.
lead with intelligence or our artistry and meet someone in that place,
right?
Wow, just how much juicier can the sex be?
That's right. And, you know, the thing is, sex for most of us is the easy part. It's like frosting. It's really great. It tastes great, and you can't build a relationship on it. I mean, you could, but those are the ones, if anybody out there that's really working for you, you're probably in the porn industry. I'm not kidding you. I mean, seriously, it's only part of a relationship. It's too heavy to sustain as a foundation. It doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
So leave that part. It's the easy part. Build,
exactly.
As my
like
friend
that.
Who is a psychiatrist said to me, you know what, Marion, you've got a great serve, but your backhand sucks and your forehand is weak. You're not going to Wimbledon, babe. So what I would say to anybody out there, if you want a really great relationship and all you have going for you is your sexuality, you're not going to Wimbledon. You're not going to get the great relationship likely. And that just seems to be true as a statistic. I think it's a great metaphor.
I love it. I love it.
I love it.
I was going to make a crude joke about the back end or
That's
the back,
right.
but anyway, let's move on because we've got to go soon, but I want you to leave us with some of the questions that you talk about in your book, Hindsight. What are the questions we need to ask before we drop our drawers?
Thanks for saying that, Elisa, because I took a lot of time and care when I developed this tool belt, this relationship tool belt for folks, to develop this one specific tool, which I call the flashlight. The flashlight is the tool.
Flashlight.
That's right.
Flashlight. Does it come with an audio?
That's right. It will now. That's the new giveaway. So this particular tool...
You could make a ringtone.
That's right.
Am I being too all over the place?
No, you're not.
A ringtone.
This is really fun.
Okay.
I like all of those things. Whatever gets you to do the thing, exactly. As far as I'm concerned.
See,
hey,
I need the little reminders.
We all do. That's why I created a relationship tool belt, so you can have the visual that every time you get in relationship, you make sure that your tools are intact. So this takeaway, and by the way, you can get that in my book, Hindsight, What You Need to Know Before You Drop Your Drawers. You can get it online, www.maryannlive.com or on amazon.com. But this particular tool is really fun because interviewing is something we do all the while we've got a daily practice, right? You're going to meet folks. You're in and out of relationship, busy working on yourself as you change and grow. They grow or they go, I always say.
So I like that.
You will find someone who matches your inside. So as you're working on it, you're going to meet guys along the way or gals or wherever you're at, whoever's listening to this program. But the flashlight begs the question. I've got 14 questions in my book that everybody at minimum should ask. The first one, almost everybody forgets to ask this question, and I'm going to tell you why in a second, but I'm going to illustrate it with a story. I've got a girlfriend. She owns a little cafe. She's been flirting with this guy. Let's give him a different profession. He's a lawyer. He comes in every day.
Yeah.
He's been flirting with her relentlessly to the point where she's going home and naming their children. Look at this happens. This is what we do as women. We create rapport. He's being unabashedly flirtatious. There's no mistake in her mind that this man likes her. She's a single mom, been single for, let's pick a new number so we don't give her away, 7 years. She decides after a year of this heavy, juicy flirting.
A year?
A year. Okay, she's careful. Got to give her that. But listen to this. You're not going to believe this, Elisa. So she says, I'm gonna ask him to tea. The flirting is over. We're taking it to the next level. Okay, she says, hey, so-and-so, clearly we like each other. Let's have tea. He literally looks at her and says, are you kidding me? I'm married. Mm-hmm. A year later, people, I am married. She said to me, now, why would someone flirt with me if they were married? Out of the gate.
Because they're married.
Well, maybe they're unhappily married. They don't like themselves. Maybe their values are such that they're not a monogamous person. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? The point is that's not the best way to start with someone who's in a committed relationship. So what you ask a great question. Actually, I was looking over your shoulder at your notes. How do we ask that
I was looking
question?
At your ring.
Yeah, I am very married. My husband made sure that he wanted people to know how married I am.
Can you get a close-up on this?
It's the top cubic zirconium.
It's the top of the Transamerica building. We found...
It's okay. You're embarrassing the heck out of me with my armpits and now the ring. Okay. So the thing is that, yes, you need to ask the questions, but you have a great question yourself, which is how do we ask those delicate questions? Because most of us don't want to destroy that very delicate chemistry.
Yeah, without sounding
right?
like they're under
That's
interrogation.
Right. And you know what? Sometimes there is no delicate way, but a lot of us know how to create rapport. One of my favorite conversations to get into, what does that mean? Oh, is it bomb going off?
Shut it off.
Right. One of the best conversations to get into is to ask people where they grew up.
Wait, I have to say something because I had a really funny thing happen to me the other day, which is so poignant, and it so speaks to the difference between men and women. I met a man at a course. I facilitate these workshops, and we do some really deep work, and you really have to, it's very strict, there's boundaries, there's no dating, so you can really go deep with these people. And still, there was a man there, and we just hit it off, you just couldn't help it, we had done this exercise together, and there was like this spark that happened, and
so what?
Exactly. And as a professional, it's like, so what?
Yeah, but so what anyway?
But listen, so here, at the end of the day, he was just like, wow, that was amazing, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, are you married? Like,
he asked.
No problem. 30, what, a half an hour? Are you married? And literally.
Right?
I have a ring on my finger, and he asked anyway, but we won't do that.
Right, because we don't want to know. That's the truth. I had a woman interview me and ask me that same question, and I said that same thing. Why do women blah, blah, blah? I said, because they don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
We women just want you to love me.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're married to 500 people. You are the swami of, and you have a harem. Just tell me I'm okay.
And we've got to get away from that paradigm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why we're here. It's like we've learned it ourselves pretty much the hard way.
Yep.
And now we're here to say, listen, you don't need to get hit with a 2x4 to wake up. Read these books. Do
that's
the work.
Right. That's
do
right.
the flashlight. Ask
right.
the questions.
Right. And let's make a point here. This in no way, none of this work was created to make anybody feel any worse about themselves than on occasion you already do. Understand our passion, I can speak for both of us, I think, is really about, oh my God, if you can learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to learn from your own mistakes. They say that's just brilliant. But to be a genius is to learn from other people's mistakes. And that's what we're trying to say here. That's what hindsight's
all
about.
And we do it in business, right? The seven laws of success. And
yeah, some of us do that
books.
In business. Right? Yeah. Other people are still trying to figure it out, you know?
We do.
Yeah, well, these skills don't always translate everywhere. So let's have this as a takeaway as well. Look, at get the book Hindsight, What You Need to Know Before You Drop Your Drawers. It's filled with 6 tools that you can turn into skills, exercises, questions to ask. It's a great foundation if you really do want to find the love of your life. You'll be surprised because you can have that as soon as you want it. And nothing and no one can ever take that away from you. Beyond that, you know, be kind to yourself. This is a process. It's not fast food. It doesn't happen overnight. Be in it for the long haul, and I promise you, you'll get the good stuff. Namely, deep, unabashed love with yourself and God. And I'm going to tell you what, it's almost like that any relationship for me on top of that was just a bonus.
Absolutely.
That's really my takeaway from all of my years at work. I really, really can say without, beyond a shadow of a doubt, at the end of the day, that's what I always have. It's not dependent on anyone outside of myself. Mm-hmm. My husband's a bonus every day that I wake up, and I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm. And that's the grace. Doesn't Marianne Williamson write about that? That grace,
yes.
That relationship that we have with ourselves.
Absolutely.
That it's undeniable, and it's no one can take that away from
nope.
us. So thank you for being the cheerleader for that in a very deep way. You know, they say that you have to hear something 7 times before it actually gets in, and which is why I just want to go over these topics again and again, that it's okay to be where we're at. And
actually, it's 40 days that
in a row?
Something has to go from, in order for something to go from short-term memory to long-term memory, it needs to be practiced every day for 40 days. For you to gain recognition and memory into short-term memory 7 times, in marketing, they say 3 to 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to actually have it be a default, that's a lot of work, people. So we're undoing some big grooves. That's why Elisa and I are saying to you, be patient. Keep tuning into Elisa's show, to my show, Marianne Live. Every day having a practice, adding, deepening your practice, and you will have you.
We should do a workshop.
I'd love to.
Let's create a workshop.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen, because that's a workshop you're not going to want to miss. Be my pleasure.
Awesome. Let's also, let's offer again. Can we do this again?
Yes. My Thrive CD, How to Wake Up and Stay Awake.
I love it.
Is available as a gift. Go ahead and email Elisa at
ALISSA@personallifemedia.com.
Absolutely. We'll put it in the mail for you. And in the meantime, www.MariannLive. We're streaming live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. all over the world now. We've got about 3 million listeners and watchers out there now. So we're very excited to have you tune in.
Can I come back?
Yes.
I had
have
so
to
much
come
fun.
Back.
It's like I'm recording you for my show while we're live streaming on your
That's
show.
That's right.
We are in the technology flow. See,
indeed.
You're way ahead of the times.
Yeah, I just just don't know it. No, and that's, I like that about myself. Yeah. Well,
that brings us to the end of Just for Women. Marianne, it's so good to sit with you and talk about these things and really support our sisters and our growth and development. So thank you for all the hard work that you've done and that are sharing with women with your book, Hindsight. What we need to know before we drop our drawers. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a privilege, and it's my pleasure to be here and happy to serve.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Blessings, everybody.
Yeah. All right. So that brings us to the end of the show. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman, signing off. For texts and transcripts of this show and more shows in the Personal Life Media Network, just go to personallifemedia.com. And now you can get instant notification when my next show goes live. You can get same-day notification or a weekly digest. Just go to personallifemedia.com/signup and don't miss one juicy nugget of these fantastic experts like Marianne Camarado. Why am I saying your name like that? Camarado? Like, can I call you just C?
Yeah.
MC?
Just call me Marianne.
Cece?
That works for me.
Marianne?
Yeah.
I like Cece.
Cece's good. I've always wanted a nickname.
I'll call you Cece.
My assistant calls me Mimi. So Cece's good, too.
I like Cece.
All right, I'm going with that.
All right, we're ending. Thanks, everyone. Tune in next week for more juicy news you can use.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.